Welcome to the A-News Podcast. This is episode 82 on September 21st, 2018. This podcast covers anarchist activity from anarchistnews.org of the previous week. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism at our email address, podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, go to the nonsectarian anarchistnews.org. Editorial by Chisel. What does COINTELPRO look like today? There's a good little book about covert operatives and operations against the left in the U.S. called War at Home by Brian Glick. It makes concise points, with cartoons, about some of the tools and history of the state. The main thing I remember from reading it years ago is that accusations against people are a tactic as much as any other tactic, and that if someone is doing the work of the state, then it doesn't matter much if they're getting paid or not. Both of these are simple points with complicated ramifications. Accusations being a tactic is especially interesting in these days of hashtag MeToo and knee-jerk anti-fascism rhetoric. The point being that any topic about which we are supposed to respond automatically without thoughtfulness or critical thinking is an opportunity for the state to yank us around. Do we support rape survivors uncritically? Then enemies of the state will find they are accused of rape. Do we dox people and their families when they are accused of fascism? Then enemies of the state will be accused of fascism. COINTELPRO has an official history in the 60s, but there is valid concern that it never ended, just got renamed and farmed out to a wider range of state actors. COINTELPRO wrote letters in people's names, riled up existing tensions, sent personalized and specific hate mail, for example, urging Martin Luther King to kill himself, harassed people by using the legal system, broke into homes and offices, undermined public opinion, created false flyers and media stories and false movement groups, manipulated and threatened families, employers, landlords, and so on. Any of those tactics sound familiar? The internet is the perfect medium to create and maintain a paranoid populace, alienated and suspicious. Calling people agents of the state is part of that. What I'm doing right now is part of that. Having a yelling match in which each side is accusing the other of acting to the benefit of the state only convinces anyone who doesn't already have a side to stop listening to that kind of rhetoric. On the other hand, sometimes people need to be reminded of how our actual enemies work so that we recognize it both when the state does it and also when our so-called friends do it. What's new this week? Getting caught. Call for stories about the times you didn't get away. From north-shore.info. I'm really liking the content so far from North Shore. This piece is a call for stories on dealing with failure, which some might call defeatist, and others realistic, and still others more engaging than empty cheerleading. There's an argument that if people had realistic expectations and weren't expecting to be superheroes, then maybe we'd have some more creativity about things we can actually do and how to actually do them. Just an argument. All submissions will be anonymized. Yes, that's a verb now, whether or not the author is identified.
Fire Ant, Anarchist Prisoner Solidarity Number 1, from Anonymous. Quote, I've been thinking about the Fire Ant project for some time now. It is a long-term project for and with anarchist prisoners. The goals for this project are to raise material aid for imprisoned anarchists, spread information about imprisoned anarchist anarchy, and foster communication between imprisoned and free-roaming anarchists. All writings and art are reprinted with permission. Solidarity! Unquote. This excellent new project includes 16 pages of letters, poetry, and writing by Michael Kimball, Sean Swain, who continues to be unusually targeted and fucked with, Eric King, Jennifer Gann, a piece on Marius Mason and their case, and addresses for folks. Best of luck to this new periodical.
It's a Sin to Kill a Mockingbird, writings on Scout Schultz, queer anarchist killed by Georgia Tech police, from Anonymous. This is a very brief sketch of the murder of Scout and some of the repercussions of their death, including two suicides and no consequences to the shooter. Quote, as of this publication, the arrestees from the night of the riot have either had charges reduced or dropped, and none are set to serve jail time. No one has been convicted for vandalizing squad cars or burning the police cruiser. The officer who killed Scout, Tyler Beck, is still on duty. The legacy of this tragic sequence is in your hands now, dear reader. For Scout, for Dallas, for Kirby, and for the rest of us, be fierce, be swift, be cruel, unquote. This is also the announcement of the Contemporaries Project, which, quote, produces posters, leaflets, reports, and a newsletter. It has become difficult to transmit historical lessons to the newer comrades at a time when it is most desperately needed. This pamphlet is one of many contributions to the situation, responding to sensible needs and not to ideological reflex, unquote. I look forward to seeing more.
Addendum. Benjamin Tucker, American Mutualist. Tucker did not advocate voting in businesses. From Anonymous. Okay. For those of us who are unaware of the differences between market theories, here's a piece that will not make everything clear, but will hint toward clarity. Quote, the working day of 12 hours is represented in a monetary value of, for example, 6 shillings. There are two alternatives. Either equivalents are exchanged and then the worker receives 6 shillings for 12 hours of labor, the price of his labor would be equal to the price of his product. In that case, he produces no surplus value for the buyer of his labor. The 6 shillings are not transformed into capital, and the basis of capitalist production vanishes. The unearned income is called surplus value. Markets do not equate to capitalism, which is why different market systems like market socialism and mutualism exist. Unquote. How many markets can dance on the head of a pin?
Maximum Potential, 3 pieces on bodies, strength, and fitness from the Anarchist Library by Max Rez. Ha ha. A really interesting new pamphlet looking at anarchist theory about fitness and the lack thereof. The piece references Haymarket Gym, a piece by Adam Curtis, and a site called Ultra. Quote, this kind of interaction is described to us by one of its members in an interview with a media outlet for Dick's Sporting Goods, of all places, where he talks about how physical self-defense training didn't help him when he was brutalized by the police, except that he felt more prepared to, quote, mentally react, unquote, to the assault. This is something I again can see the usefulness of, though it probably doesn't make getting beaten up by a cop at a protest any less unpleasant. More, mental preparedness for getting beaten or tortured isn't going to bring down the institutions that disempower us, any more than training to fight as a Jew in the Roman ghetto ended the functioning of that ghetto, never mind the machinery of the Holocaust as a whole. While it may feel good to claim that strong people are harder to kill, a slogan, by the way, that's also present on the Ultra website, our present reality is one in which that's just not the case when it comes to the state exercising power over our bodies, and to think otherwise is to risk falling into the positivist self-improvement mentality that characterizes so many dietary regimens and workout routines. Unquote.
Book extract, World War and Freedom's Nadir, from freedomnews.org.uk. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that history is at its best when it is specific and it doesn't attempt to make any grand sweeping generalizations, when it tells stories that allow people to draw their own assessments about any similarities or dissimilarities between past and current events. This is a short story about Kropotkin losing his mind when he supported the war effort of the Allies in World War I. It's hard to imagine that Kropotkin's ideas weren't better thought out than this proposes. But the back and forth of passionate anarchists, the inside fights, and consequent shifts in projects all cast vague but interesting shadows on today. Better than most texts from Freedom, as far as I can tell.
Lecce, Italy, Anarchist Publishing Fair from Act for Freedom Now. Anarchist book fair season is international. Some of the workshops are medical slash health related in a way that seems odd to me, like on vaccinating kids and on cancer and DNA. Perhaps there can be a book fair report back exchange with someone from Lecce and someone from the Bay Area Book Fair and or Bastard. Quote, 2 days of books, meetings, presentations, and discussions to talk about the history and topicality of anarchist ideas and actions, of the indissoluble link that unites them and their ability to bear on the world and the perspective of changing it. Unquote.
Communique for September 9th Burnside Jail Noise Demo from It's Going Down. From the prisoners, in response, quote, to the protesters who came right down through the woods to the back of the jail, risking their freedom to stand in solidarity with us, you gave us the most liberating feeling. We want you to know we could hear you, and we believe you. We are not alone. Thank you. We love you, and are grateful to have you by our sides. This demonstration fully achieved what we set out to do. Express our love and solidarity with those locked up, connecting despite the seemingly impenetrable prison walls. Our experiences strengthen our resolve to act in solidarity with those struggling against the cruelty of prison. The police response strengthens our rage against them, and against all state institutions of social control and criminalization. Unquote.
Audio. The Hotwire 36, September 12, 2018. 32 minutes. There are two hosts for this episode, which is relevant because of their scripted conversation about the complexities of organizing along populist lines. More voices and disparate opinions are good, both more entertaining and also less dogmatic, but there's something disturbing about pretend interactions about topics that I care about. Maybe that's just me. This episode, like most, is pretty preachy. This podcast doesn't really project many questions or uncertainties, except sometimes when they have other people talking about their experiences. It must be nice to have so many answers.
Anarchy Radio, September 18th, 2018. An hour. Yet another hour of bad faith, passive-aggressive, self-satisfaction, interspersed with pleading for callers. Inspiring.
The Hotwire number 37, September 19th, 2018. 41 minutes. An interesting conversation by people doing mutual aid in North Carolina, including some of the rhetoric from both the cops and the nonprofits. Also, at about 28 minutes, a very touching message from prisoners at the end of a strike. Also, just a note, the reading by Rebel Girl has gotten much better, no longer nearly as painful as when she started.
Topic of the week, time. The distro I'm part of just hosted a discussion on some excerpts from the Old Calendarist, available in Enemy Combatants Press, on the oppressive nature of modern capitalist time and calling for a return to ways of keeping time before the current Gregorian calendar. Here's a quote. What do we want? We want those golden days of September stolen from us by the idolaters of science and rationalist utilitarianism. We hope that the restoration of sacred pagan time will induce a new, widespread consciousness open to a radical critique of technology as alienation. Stage by stage, we'd like to regress toward the status quo ante-1752. Abolish the Industrial Revolution and the post-industrial reign of time as money. Abolish not only electricity and infernal combustion, but also the steam engine. Bring back agrarian green artisanal social time. Abandon the capitalist hell realm. And by the way, let's get rid of daylight savings time. Down with all time lords, free time. Humorous and nostalgic, the essays identify a problem that's both abstract and intimately felt that of time. Intimately tell that of time. Time is tied to all sorts of things that make life under capitalism unpleasant. The tyranny of the time clock, the drive for efficiency, standardized measures which make our lives more easily monitored and controlled by bosses of all sorts. Against capitalist time, the authors call for a multiplicity of calendars and a return to sacred time as a return to capital and nature. We advocate abolishing the Gregorian calendar because it has become the time system of post-industrial capitalism. The reign of work is alienation and the cruel instrumentality of reason. We insist on a return to some holy and inefficient calendar. Any system, so long as it's old, and we especially support the Julian calendar, which England and America followed till 1752. The point is to re-enchant time itself, to make it sacred again, more in harmony with nature, more organic. What do you think of this as a potential model for anarchist time? What are other ideas for restructuring or disrupting time as it exists? Can society exist without one time to rule us all? Okay, this is Ariel. I'm sitting here today with
Michael,
and we are going to bask in the morning sun, which is surely going to blind us, and we're going to talk about time. So, Michael, what do you think about anarchist time?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I learned what the Gregorian calendar was earlier this week.
Oh, that's fantastic. Tell us what Neil says about the Gregorian calendar.
So my understanding is it's just the Catholic update to the calendar to an already pre-existing calendar that basically says that we need to drop a leap day drop one of the leap days that would normally happen every 4 years, but then not do it every 400th year or every 100th year. I don't remember exactly. But so I'm not sure why the Gregorian calendar is that much different than the Julian calendar, which I don't actually know what that is. So maybe a little out of my league here. But I do think the like time is money. And again, part of this might be me getting older. But I also feel like when I grew up in the 90s, time is money couldn't be quite as pronounced as it is now that like I have friends, right, who drive for Uber and Lyft, where like when you get off your regular job at 5, you have the option of like going to happy hour or like driving Uber for an hour, or like do you want to like cook dinner or like get some like fast food and drive Uber for an hour, right? Time is money is so much more pronounced now that we have this kind of interconnectedness all the time. I don't know. What you got?
I appreciate the playful attempt to disrupt our relationship to time. So, of course, we all live in the real world, right? We have appointments. We have to catch trains and buses and planes. You have to meet with people in the world who are absolutely in no way ever going to think any differently than the clock on their phones. And, you know, you need to be at places when they're open. And they're open by, you know, the tick of a clock that we're all used to. And so that can't be avoided. But I do like the idea. Like, I actually have friends in my life who kind of work on their own time. And to be friends with them, you just know that they're kind of always on their own time. And everybody else is going to be at dinner at 6, and they're going to be at dinner 6-ish. And that's okay. And I actually used to be one of those people. But I lived in New York for many years, and time is everything in New York. And time is absolutely money all the time. And no one is late. And that fixed me. Whatever tendencies I might have had towards my own time, New York beat that out of me. So thinking about ways that we can, in our lives, have a different relationship with time, I think is fantastic. Which maybe part of that just means that, you know, we know what a Gregorian calendar is, and we know what the Julian calendar is, proposed by Julius Caesar, by the way. So that's some ancient shit. And we also think differently about how we spend our time and how we measure the value of our time. Lots of people in our world behave as if their time isn't valuable because they have so much of it, and will spend lots of time doing ridiculous, menial things because, you know, I have the time, why not? So I think perhaps everyone starting from the position that their time is valuable is a good place. And being really thoughtful about, you know, I don't know what it would look like for you and I to have lunch and it not be about time, but it be about I don't know what. I mean, I feel like I do that a lot. I had dinner with a friend last night, and it was, when do you want to have dinner? Well, as soon as we can, except I have to do this and this. Okay, well, I have to do this and this. Okay, and we're both about the same distance from the restaurant. And okay, so I'm going to do this and this, and I'm going to go, and then you're going to show up when you show up. And so it was much less about what time we were going to arrive as opposed to the sequence and timing of things. Sure. And that worked in that moment. I don't know that you could do that all the time. And I was there 15 minutes before she was, and I had to sit and wait, and that was also okay. It's an interesting idea.
I think that's one of the reasons when we were having the conversation yesterday about how I like to get everything I need to get done out of the way on certain days so that I can have entire days off. And how like an entire day off feels really different than having part of a day off, because on my days off, I can kind of escape time in a lot of ways. You know, I'm going to go hang out with someone, and I don't need to think about whether or not I need to get back at a certain time to finish printing whatever book, or, you know. When I get tired, I'll go to sleep tonight. But after this, I have nowhere to be at any particular time, and that's nice.
So you feel like once you relieve yourself of responsibilities, then you can kind of structure your day in a timeless manner.
Yeah.
And that works for you.
Maybe that's the like hyper-liberal approach to anarchist times. Get your chores done early.
And have you ever tried to kind of have a less time-specific based relationship with people around you in your life?
I mean, I did the hitchhiking traveler kid thing for several years in my 20s. And certainly during that, you're relatively unhooked from time. You wake up when the sun comes up and you travel until the sun goes down. And even by a measure of days, sometimes you get places when you get there, you know?
Sure. Yeah, I never did the hitchhike thing, so I didn't think about that. I know that it can take you a very long time to travel a very short distance, which I suppose changes your relationship with both time and space a little bit. I live a life where I always have too many things to do. I wouldn't say that I actually have much free time, as you'd put it. I'm actually just in the last month or so really trying to force myself to carve out free time to do things that I would want to do as opposed to that I might have to do in the moment. And mostly, more importantly, I'm trying to spend more time with people that I care about as opposed to them just kind of trying to insert themselves into momentary empty points in my life. And that has been really hard, actually, because often, like we talked about yesterday, I am at a movie with friends and I'm thinking about all the things I'm not doing that I should probably be doing. I have at least evolved past the judgment that goes with it. You know, I'm not a slacker or a loser because I'm at the movie. I'm just, I'm not doing these things. I'm at a movie. Go ahead.
Can I ask you, because it seems like you do always seem very busy, like you have a lot to do, but it also seems like it's a relatively free form. Like, I mean, the way you spend your time is maybe busy and involuntary, but it also seems like it's not particularly clock-based, which seems like part of what these folks are gunning at.
Actually, that's true, and I tell people all this all the time when I have to schedule like phone calls or meetings with them, that I am always busy, but usually when I am doing what I am doing doesn't actually matter. So, you know, this phone call can be whenever you want it to be, because I'm going to have to do what I'm going to have to do today. And whether I'm doing it at 11 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock at night doesn't actually matter, which is one of the benefits of working in your own domain from home. Right? Like, I'm sitting outside my front door in my pajamas right now doing this.
Yeah.
And then once we're done, I'm going to sit here on my laptop in the sun in my pajamas and do a whole bunch of work that I need to do. So I suppose that is one of the benefits. But that's just about, I am older and I have structured my life so that I can step away from the push and pull of a 9-to-5. And, you know, I suppose in some level it's like I worked a long time to get to this point.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, it feels like a privilege, for sure. Because I don't think it's how most people get to spend their days.
So that kind of gets into the questions about, like, individually escaping time versus cooperatively or collectively or whatever your chosen buzzword for doing it with more than one people is. Are there ways that a bunch of us could break out together, or is it kind of a matter of us individually escaping and then associating with other people who have individually escaped on their own, I guess? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, the question of the week asks the question, what are other ideas for restructuring or disrupting time as it exists? And I don't know how you would do that.
Yeah, I kind of, with a lot of their other demands here about turning back the Industrial Revolution and such, I actually kind of feel like they might be putting the horse before the cart, where actually if you turned back Industrial Revolution, you'd basically end time insofar as that it's just a bunch of synchronized watches. So,
yeah, that's definitely, yeah, sure.
Still have natural time, though.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what they're talking about, is a return to natural time. And
that's what they're advocating.
You know, that the pears on the trees will tell you when they're ripe, and that's true. But the pears on the trees aren't going to tell you what time the plane leaves.
Right. That's a different kind of time.
Right. And so, you know, can we break free of that kind of time? I mean, I suppose if you can, as long as you don't care when the plane leaves.
I mean, you'll still have a... Like, I like how the Japanese look at age, and that, you know, they do it by, like, the seasons. So when you're in your autumn years, you know, you're aging. When you're in your winter years, you know, you're basically dying. And then, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of cyclical things with it, too, so. And then, you know, there's cosmic time. There's, you know, other ways of, you know, you could go back before the Industrial Revolution and people are still using sundials, and, you know, you'd have to go really far back, I think, to get rid of time.
Smash the sundial.
More like smash the sun. Right. I think time will disappear when the sun flies into the earth.
Well, fortunately, we'll all be most likely long dead by then. Thank you.
We ain't got time. I drop my demons out. Clear my mind. Run around town with a bad ass bitch. See and dang. All these niggas they got right here. They stay lying. We ain't got time. I drop my demons out.
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Leno Mabel. What's New was written by Jackie and read by Chisel and Dim. The editorial was written by Chisel. We thank Ariel and friends for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other anarchist material are available at littleblackcart.com. And for news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, go to anarchistnews.org. In car, yeah, Liz, you can see me tonight. Cowboy man, that's why my jeans so tight. Trimming all lanes, don't think you really wanna ride. I'm gonna want one on you, not my kind. I see some eight watches, ain't wasting my time. We ain't got time. I drop my demons out. Clear my mind.